Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit Arion to get started.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. We are out to lunch with Deb Brown, and we are in Webster City, Iowa, at the Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill. It's owned by a guy by the name of Burke Rissiter, and he's been kind enough to be our host today. And we're going to get ready to order. Hey, Deb Brown, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
So we're going to be changing some things up. Used to be that what we would do with out to lunch, we would go ahead and have a conversation and then order lunch and then have more of a conversation. We're going to change that up today, and we're just going to go right on through. So, yeah.
Sounds perfect to me.
And who to better experiment on than Deb Brown? And we are going to be talking about all kinds of things. We're going to get Sarah. Sarah is our waitress. Hey, Sarah. The serving staff is here, ladies and gentlemen. So what do you think you want, Deb?
Well, I want the chamber burger,
the
peanut
chamber,
butter bacon.
What's that?
It's
what is
a
it?
Burger with peanut butter and bacon.
Get out of here.
No bun, okay. And a baked potato.
Okay.
And, you know, butter no stinking pickles.
No,
yeah.
Pickles. Okay.
Butter is fine.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, you are writing it down, Sarah, right?
Yes.
Okay, because that had me worried.
Because
just
she
a
asked
minute.
Me for special things.
Oh, so, yeah. How long have you been waiting tables here?
In total?
Yeah.
A long time.
You must have started when you were six. All right. Sarah, I'm going to do the bourbon burger.
Okay.
No cheese.
Okay.
So just like the burger with no cheese.
You want the onions still?
Yeah, I want the onions,
okay.
Yeah.
Regular french fries?
Regular fries are good. Why not?
Why not?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right. So we have the order in. Let's get going. Tell everyone that's listening what it is that you do, Deb.
That's a really good question, right? The better question would be, what haven't I done? Currently, I am co-founder of SaveYour.Town with
now,
Becky McCray.
So that we understand that best, it is SaveYour.Town.
Correct.
Got it.
And that's also the website. So .town is a little different. It's not .com.
And we'll have the links up on the radio blog so everybody can find that.
Perfect.
All right, so what does SaveYour.Town do?
We do webinars every month. Our audience is rural and small towns. Anyone that's looking to make a difference in their community, whether it's economic development, chamber, individuals, organizations, it really doesn't matter.
And you've had a life in the chamber world, too, haven't you?
I have, yes. I've done about 10 years in the chamber
world
prior to this.
Yeah, originally from Franklin County, if I remember
right. Correct, Hampton, Iowa.
Yeah, and which you can't get much more rural than Hampton, Iowa.
Yeah, all 4,000 of them are rural, for sure.
And then you motivated to Webster City.
Yes.
And tell us, give some sense of what Webster City is.
So it's a town of about 7,800 people. It's on Highway 20, one of the few communities that are actually on Highway 20. And we're pretty proud of that fact. We also have Old 20 that goes right through our downtown.
Right.
And we have Briggswoods Park. We have shopping, a grand downtown shopping area, two big grocery stores. We have excellent school systems. It's a place where people move back to, where they come back to raise their families. And it's very family-oriented here. Oh, and we have racing. How could you not have racing?
Horse
yes.
racing?
No, car racing.
Of course, car racing. Got to get the motorheads in there, right?
Yep,
And you recently helped out with a big project downtown. And you had some people from Hollywood come out and kind of help on that project. What was that?
Well, it started with the empty buildings tour. And on that tour, we put 12 empty buildings And because nobody wants empty buildings, and we thought we'd showcase them. And within 2 years, we had filled 10 of those 12 buildings.
Wow.
And one of them was the local movie theater. It had closed and was put up for sale. And it really was the straw that broke the camel's back here in Webster City. They had already lost a major manufacturer in 2011, and this was just the final straw. And people stood up and said, not in my town.
Oh.
And we raised $250,000 to save the theater, put new equipment in, to hire people to work there. We didn't want to have it volunteer-based. We wanted to contribute to the economy and actually hire staff to work there. And Square Up heard about us. I had written a rebuttal to the New York Times because there was a photographer here that said the town was dead. And if you know me, we just don't let that go by without answering it. And the New York Times printed my rebuttal, which was kind of cool. And Square found that. And so we need to go see what they're doing down there.
And when we talk about Square, we talk about none other than the founder of Square.
Yes, Jack.
Yeah.
Our friend Jack, yeah.
Who also is the Twitter maven.
He is the Twitter maven, Jack Dorsey. He's also from the St. Louis area. So his parents came up, too, when they did they made a movie here about saving the theater. And it was a 12-minute movie, and Square is now doing that to help rural communities showcase themselves, basically.
And at the same time, it kind of polishes the brand for Square.
Absolutely.
And Jack Dorsey.
Yep.
Which is not a bad idea either. We're talking with Deb Brown, ladies and gentlemen, saveyour.town, and we're talking about rural life and maybe some of the perceptions that folks out there, have about rural America. You mentioned the New York Times, and it was really interesting that you should mention that, because one of the things that we just had this on the NewsHour yesterday, as a matter of fact, where all of a sudden, Washington Post and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal is all of a sudden discovering that we are partnering out here in the hinterland in Iowa and other rural states with business and high schools and jobs in the trades, because not everybody is as well healed or needs to go to college to pick up a 4-year degree and incur all kinds of student debt. So we're just now it's kind of a trickle up theory, apparently.
Right. And what we're seeing is because the manufacturers, the large manufacturing concerns, are not coming back. But when you take a look at local electricians and plumbers and people in the trades,
right.
It's a fabulous way for a young person to start. Get a couple of extra credits in high school, go to 2 years of continuing ed to learn that skill, and then step into a $60,000 an hour job. You don't
$60,000 a year.
Yeah, $60,000 a year.
I'd take the $60,000. Well, that's kind of like a Wall Street guy.
Right, and the stress is a lot harder on them.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think, and we haven't even touched on all of the goodness about rural America, but there is a quality of life issue there. I live in the greater Des Moines metro, and that's our home base. But I'm very familiar with rural America. I lived in rural America for much of my life and have a great fondness for it. But there are some really real advantages to that. People tend to look out for each other. I remember not too long ago, people were saying, do you know your neighbors? And oftentimes in communities and cities, you don't. And you kind of eschew that because you don't know them. But in small towns, you have that opportunity.
You do. I'll tell you a story. Yesterday, I had a little bit of work done and had to go to the hospital for an outpatient thing. And my neighbor took me. Roger Lyons said, come on, I'll take you. In his 70s, happy to drive up to Ames to take me there. I would never experience that in the city of Chicago. And I live there. I know.
Yeah. Are you a Chicago native?
I am not. I lived in Chicago for 25 years.
Oh, my.
As soon as I got out of high school.
Oh, yeah. Big lights, bright city, right?
Yes. Actually, Chicago is a city filled with communities.
It's really
like a bunch of small towns all together.
Yeah, if anyone of you who are listening to this have ever traveled down Devon Avenue in Chicago, you will go from the Hasidic Jewish neighborhood to the Pakistani neighborhood to the Indian neighborhood to the Syrian neighborhood, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's really quite
Greeks
charming.
Some Greeks in there, too.
Yeah, some
definitely.
Greeks in there as well, yeah. We are visiting with Her name is Deb Brown, ladies and gentlemen, and it is about Save Your Dot Town. All right, let's talk about some of the realities that we have in rural America. And you're an expert in this. You're a rural strategist. You spend time as an expert for small towns, helping them re-envision themselves. Some of the things that we are faced with on a regular basis seems to be the outward migration from the majority of counties, for example, in Iowa or many states, into the more populous urban centers. And so we're seeing a graying of rural America, or so we talk about.
So I'm going to call a little bit of BS on that, because it frustrates me to hear about that. What I notice in small towns, and I work all over the U.S. in small towns, is that the students are encouraged to go to school or go to get some continuing education. And we see them return when they start having kids of their own, because your small towns provide you that quality of life, that lower cost of living, safety. You know, those are three big things that you can get in a small town. The baby boomers are graying, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
But coming up is about the same number of, I hate to say millennials because they hate that, but that younger age group. So are some people leaving? Are the towns getting smaller? Sure, some of them are. But it doesn't mean they're getting worse. It means they're bonding and binding together and figuring out how to work together. Just because you lose a few people doesn't make you a bad community.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to become a ghost town at any time soon.
Correct.
You know, one of the things, to your point, about livability and affordability in rural communities, we just ordered out to lunch here at the Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill, and when I opened up the menu, I said, oh my, Deb, this is a lot different than the Des Moines Metro.
Yeah, the cost of living is a little bit less expensive than in a small town than it is in a large city.
To your point about younger individuals being encouraged to set up shops and businesses and do that in rural America, there was a story. Our good friend Kyle Munson wrote an article about a tiny community, I think in Franklin County perhaps, where he was talking about young people coming together, and they have taken over a hardware store. There is now a florist. Can you speak to any of that?
I think it's Sheffield, Iowa that he was talking about. Absolutely, because what I'm seeing is people my age, and I'm 63, happily announced.
You're
that.
You're just a
and
kid.
I'm just a kid, right? But people my age and older are a little apprehensive about these young people coming in and changing things. Of course, I'm not that person, but we're seeing
you've always been kind of an early adopter.
Yeah. And we're seeing some loosening of those attitudes, and we're in creating innovative rural business models where we're taking the entrepreneurs out of their homes and getting them into businesses. But it starts with small steps. So if you look at the guy that has a trailer and he's selling kettle corn, you can anticipate, it's a true story here, Sean Anderson started with kettle corn, selling it at events, and now he's in a brick-and-mortar business, still kettle corn, but coffee too and sandwiches.
Mm.
So let's start people out smaller, less opportunity to lose a ton of money. You know what it's like to start a business in a brick-and-mortar. It's crazy expensive. But it's also an opportunity to see if your idea works. And if your community is open to that, for example, their shared spaces. You can take Washington, Iowa did that. Took 15,000 square feet and divided it up into tiny, small spaces. Some as small as a table where a lady sells jewelry. Some the size of a back room where they're selling books for kids. And they just started to fill it. They didn't and open the doors. They didn't try to fill it all at once and invited people to come in and do their products.
This is a topic that we covered not too very long ago with Build a Better Block, based out of Austin, Texas.
Jason, yeah.
You know Jason?
I do.
See? We all run into the same circles, it seems like. But he was talking about that very thing. Grow what you have in your community. And rather than being Debbie Downer, if you'll allow that expression,
right.
I know you're not.
We call him the Committee of Negativity.
Finding ways in which you can accentuate business and grow your business wherever you happen to be. And, you know, One of the interesting things about that, Deb, it's not only for rural communities. This also works in urban centers as well. We have blighted areas in many of our urban communities where, with a little assistance and a little foresight and some marketing assistance, they can build a better block in their urban or rural community.
It's how the East Village started in Des Moines. One guy had a great idea and started with one person.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Deb Brown, ladies and gentlemen, Save Your Dot Town. We're talking about the plight of rural America, but not so much. Don't be so heavy on the plight part. How long have you been doing this?
Well, Chamber World was 10 years, and then about 3 years ago, I had to make the decision between serving one community or being able to expand and serve other communities. And so 3 years on my own.
And you have a partner in this?
I do. At Savior.Town, Becky McCray.
Becky McCray. She is all over the Twittersphere.
She loves Twitter. And she's in Oklahoma, and I'm here in Iowa. She lives in a small town of 31 people.
What?
Hopeton, Oklahoma. That's right. And, you know, they know when everything's going on. And in the larger town near them, which is, you know, it's funny, when we drive, we see houses and farms and corn and stuff between communities. In her community, there's nothing between Hopton and Alva. You know, you get on the road and there is nothing. And she owns, her and her husband own a liquor store and a cattle ranch.
There's a thing to draw to.
That's right. And she really is an expert on rural.
She lives very rural.
Yeah, she lives very rural. And she is a speaker that people want to hear.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about.
When you go to communities across the United States, not just Iowa, but you've been all over, because I follow your travels on Twitter, what are you hearing? What are the things that rural communities and people that live there, what are they wrestling with?
So my experience has been, it's not that they don't have what they need, because they actually do, but it's bringing that to light and creating a more positive attitude. Some of them have been beat down by those very vocal committee of negativity. So that positive attitude is something I help showcase. So, for example, I'm going to 2 Minnesota communities in September, and I'll be there for 4 days each. And I go in and I talk to whoever they want me to talk to, the city council, the Rotary, the Kiwanis, the Chamber Board.
Do you meet with the Committee of Negativity?
I have met with the Committee of Negativity, too. And then I talk to the business owners and I talk to the people on the street and I ask them, what do you like and what would you like to see? And at the end of the visit, I do a presentation to the entire community. And it's almost every community that needs more positive, happy attitude and just needs to get started. And that's what I help with.
Well, that happy attitude can only go so far.
Not if you have everything you need. See, sometimes they don't. You get in your car, you go to work, you come home. You might hear from a negative friend and you think your community's bad. But guess what? It's not. Your garages and backyards and buildings are filled with entrepreneurs trying to figure out how to grow their business, how to start something, how to really make a difference. Go to the high school and talk to the kids there. You would be surprised how many actually would like to stay in town or come back to town.
And because why? Well, their families there.
Family, friends, cost of living, safety, quality of life. Michael, it is so much fun to live in a small town where you really can make a difference.
Yeah.
I can come up with an idea and go share it with a few friends, and we can make it happen.
One of the things, and we had Congressman Ro Khanna on with us just last week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, and he is a representative for California's 17th District. And Ro happens to be the congressman that, he oversees areas that have eBay, Google, Apple.
He's a Silicon Valley guy,
He is a Silicon Valley guy, yeah. And so we were talking about what really is necessary, other than a positive attitude, for rural America to thrive.
So the three things that we hear most often is workforce, housing, and fiber, cable, internet.
Connectivity,
okay.
Yes.
The connectivity is huge. And there are lots of people out there in the rural venues working on making that fiber more affordable. Right now it's ridiculously priced. And they've actually, I just read about fiber that is laid on the ground. And instead of being 5,000 for a yard, it's 500 for a yard. So there's technology out there. They're working on it to make it better. And I apologize if I got those numbers wrong, but it's that big of
sure.
a difference. So once we get our senators and our legislature and Congress to start talking to each other and agreeing, these things can happen. Because we can do anything. It's
yeah,
only money.
Well, not only can we do it, we've done everything. We've done things. I often, and I've been on this kick, Deb, for maybe a decade, talking about rural broadband internet connectivity. You know, in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, we did something called the Electrification of America.
The REA, yep.
Right, yeah. And that was as big a project as anything that we could focus on in the future. And what we were able to do is electrify all of the United States. Now, I would think if we put the same amount of effort.
So they were able, the REA, by the way, I have a little story. In Hampton, they have an REA that was the first west of the Mississippi. And we believe it. Is the first in the nation. So
really?
I'm real familiar with the REA. And if you ever want a tour of that plant, let me know.
Oh, yeah.
But what they did is they talked to the farmers and explained why electricity was a good thing. And they laid it out so that they would understand what they could do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bought into it. So, well, we need that. So once you are able to explain the value and the purpose of rural broadband and what it will do for our neighborhoods and paint that big picture, I think you'll see more money coming to the front. And I know the big businesses, we have a few here, would be thrilled to invest in that sort of thing.
One of the things that, and we don't want everybody to think, and I was just talking with presidential candidate, Mr. Yang. Yeah, Andrew Yang, just last night, as a matter of fact, about some of this. You know, he's talking about the new technology, the new economy. Those manufacturing jobs are not coming back. You know, how are we going to live, not only in urban centers, but also rural centers? And he says, look, we need to invest in technology to the point of education. And he says, I don't want to make everybody a coder. Who in the hell wants to be a coder anyway, right?
About 10 people.
Right.
Yeah. In the local high school.
You and I would probably go nuts. But there are other advances in opportunities in technology where individuals could very well work remotely if they had the connectivity.
If you take a look at what is already here, I'm a believer that the future is now. It's here. Artificial intelligence, virtual reality, the things that are coming on board that our young people are designing and creating are here. And so we're going to lose people that show up at the factory to work. They're going to automate it. It's going to be happening. So what do we do with them?
Mm.
Where do we go with that? And some of the skills are the old-fashioned skills, the handmade, the work that a machine can't do are going to come to the forefront. Our artists are going to do very well. And we need to be encouraging them now, right now, and make that happen. So, you know, I follow Peter Diamandis, I think it's Diamandis, who talks a lot about things going on in the future and how much of it's here now. And there are many ways that we can adapt and make things work. Somebody's got to create all that stuff. Somebody's got to man the tools. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But we have to be willing to step into the future and stop pretending it's 1999.
Deb Brown, ladies and gentlemen, we're out to lunch at the Gridiron, a sports bar and grill in rural Webster City, Iowa. Let's talk a little bit about retail in rural America.
Happily.
Yeah. Obviously, And I know, you know, we are in metro locations all across the United States, closing malls or repurposing malls. Bon-Ton, the parent company of Yonkers, has declared bankruptcy, and they're closing all of the Yonkers stores across the Midwest. Sears is closing unprofitable stores, which is most of them, as a matter of fact.
JCPenney's,
Kmart. Just go on and on and on and on and on. So how does rural America, in the advent and in the world of Amazon.com, how do they deal with this?
Well, you know, it's funny.
What's
that
your name? Bishop. Bishop just brought the food.
I know.
Yeah,
Bishop's
all right.
A great cook, too. We love him.
He's the cook?
Yeah, he's the
cook.
This
is pretty cool. When the cook brings the food, you know it's got to be good.
Yeah, it is. He's a friend. He's a good kid.
So how do you do that?
So it's a perfect opportunity for rural to step up to the plate. It's actually an advantage for rural retail, for
really?
Small retail, not just rural, but in larger cities for that specialty market. The secret is knowing your customer and knowing how to reach your customer. When you only open from 10 to 5, you miss a whole group of people. And that's one of the things I talk about quite a lot. But what could you do to reach those people?
Right.
So maybe they could call you and order ahead. You make that available. Maybe, like my little, I think it's a Google Dot.
Right.
I ought to be able to say, call Interior Spaces and order those flowers I like. And they will. So your retail stores can actually teach their customers how to do that by having that Google Dot in their store to show them how to do that. That personalized one-on-one service will make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And I am such a proponent of that kind of technology and utilizing it because, Deb, and we all know this, you cannot duplicate the personal experience online. Now, many people say, well, hell, I just want it cheap.
Then let them get it cheap. You know, go to the Shopcos, go to the open Kmarts. There are places where they can get cheap stuff, and I'm not meaning to put any one of those down. Dollar Tree is actually opening up here in our community. It'll be interesting what it does to Dollar General, Dollar General has spread like crazy. They're
mm-hmm.
intentionally
yes.
closing small or choosing small towns.
Right.
It used to be the Walmarts did, and they put the businesses downtown out of business.
Yep.
Now it's the Dollar Generals. But they're, again, reaching to their market. They know who their customer base is. So if you're a specialist, if you know how to provide awesome customer service, if you can merge some of that online, use your Facebook, Twitter, and website to your advantage. Figure out how to reach where your customer is and talk to them. You'd be amazed at the difference it's going to make.
Inside On Business, the News Hour, we are out to lunch at the Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill in Webster City, Iowa, with Deb Brown. Deb, you've got, what are you doing, mashed potato? What do you got over
baked
there?
Baked potato.
Baked potato. And then you ordered the whatever that is. That's the chamber burger.
They created it for me because I love peanut butter and bacon on a burger. It's kind of like Thai food, to be honest with you.
Thai food? Oh, because you get the peanut thing going on.
Right. Who knew? We're in Iowa. Use peanut butter.
There you go.
So I'm actually sending a text to Burke, the owner, to bring me some butter. Because
butter?
Butter for my baked potato.
Oh.
Because he knows how to use technology. Instead of hollering across the room, I'll just text him.
And
how about that?
Oh, the fry is great, by the way. So we're sitting in this restaurant, ladies and gentlemen. It's really fun. Behind us, it looks to be some construction workers or some
city guys. City employees.
City employees. And so this is a real kind of a meeting place on the eastern side of Webster City, yeah?
It's the food. It's the food and the service.
Yeah.
It truly is. That's what makes a difference.
Yeah. And so we're going to be talking a little bit to the owner, but he's talked about expanding.
He is. So, again, that's a homegrown business, and we have several in our community, by the way, that have done exactly that they've chosen to expand instead of moving somewhere else. And he purchased the land right next to this, to the Gridiron.
Which used to be a motel?
Used to be one of those old motels from the 60s.
Oh, my.
You know? It was on as listed as a historic site on the old Route 20. It got caught up in the opioid crisis, and people were living there that shouldn't have been living there, and now it's been torn down. So he's going to expand and create a bigger sitting room and expand his kitchen and put an outside place for people to play music,
nice.
All kinds of fun things.
Yeah. We're talking with Deb Brown. Deb, you brought up just then a topic that is on the minds of many individuals, and that's the opioid crisis. And what is astounding about that, if you look at the demographics and where this is hitting, so many individuals say, well, this is something that's going on in urban centers, but it's quite prevalent, as was the whole early drug years in the 80s and 90s with methamphetamines. It's really reacted in our rural settings as well, yes?
A couple
as
of
she
things.
Takes a bite.
Right, as I got food in my mouth.
That's what happens when we go out to lunch, see?
In our state, access to mental health care has been taken away from us by our local government, by our state government. I'll just put that out there because they've closed all the mental health facilities. And there are many people that are on all kinds of drugs that have mental health problems. So when you have nowhere to send them, you're creating even more of a crisis. One of the things I like about this community, one of the medical clinics merged with the hospital and is now there, so their old clinic is available, and they gave it to the county supervisors who are turning it into a mental health facility.
Wow.
Plus we have YSS for young people that does an amazing job and is literally saving lives of people, young people that are having problems with mental health and drugs and at home.
So once again, local takes over where the state sometimes falls down.
We have no choice.
Yeah, you don't have any choice, do you?
I have to figure out how to make it work.
Sarah, this is good.
Can
oh, yeah.
Some butter, yes.
This is bourbon burger?
Bourbon burger on Texas toast, yeah. I forgot
I like
to tell you that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So the answer to all that is, again, is rural areas are starting to...
Education is so important. As a parent, you need to be aware of what it looks like to have that your child is addicted to some sort of drug. As a spouse, you need to know what it looks like if your spouse is having problems with it. Let's start educating people and then providing a place for help. Because if you want to quit, you got to have some help. And stop prescribing so many opioids. You know, thank you, pharmaceutical companies, by encouraging our doctors to do that. Those high-quality narcotics are not necessary for everyday pain, yet they prescribe them for that. So let's figure out where's the middle? Well, you know, where's the Tylenol 3 that actually works better than, you know, some crazy narcotic that's addictive?
And we're seeing... many individuals move into medical cannabis, medical marijuana, if you will, because...
It works.
It works, yeah, it works. You have an upcoming event.
I do.
And I want to make sure we talk about that, because that's one of the reasons we're here.
It's called Rural That Works.
Rural
That Works. Sarah Thompson and I have partnered together. Sarah is... the Hamilton Hometowns director, and also deals with Main Street communities in Iowa. They're a Main Street community. And we wanted to have a rural conference that was in a rural area. If we could have found one to go to, we would have went. But they're not out there. Part of the problem is broadband. Part of the problem is not enough room. So we said, let's create a conference for 100 rural people that talks about all things rural, that leaves people with action steps they can take when they get home and takeaways they can access when they do get home. So we created Rural That Works, and that's the website too, ruralthatworks.com, and it is September 6th and 7th. Now get this, Michael. On the 6th, on the Thursday,
yep.
It is at Backcountry Winery.
Oh, wow.
We know our people. And on the 7th, it is at, and Backcountry Winery is outside of Jewell, Iowa. It's literally out in the country. Outside of Stratford, Iowa, sorry. On Friday, it is at the golf course at Jewell, Iowa. That's just a beautiful golf course. So we've chosen two locations right off of Interstate 35, easy access. They can stay in hotels here in Webster City or Story City if they wish. And we're having some pretty cool activities and speakers. You know Ben Winchester? Have you ever heard of Ben Winchester? He's a rural sociologist out of University of Minnesota. He's well known for what he does. And he speaks about rural is not dead. And he shares stories of communities he's worked with. He shares the statistics. He's just a fabulous speaker and kind of hard to get. But we got him. And he'll be our keynote speaker talking for a couple of hours. And that's on the first day. I lie. That's on the second day. I'll get it straight yet.
That's all right.
I think it's on the first day.
We will have to go
to the website and see.
We will have a
works.
Link to the website.
Right.
So yeah.
I'm going to talk about the innovative rural business models and what that thing, tiny temporary together and traveling. So traveling, for example, the food court. Somebody starts with a food trailer. How can, you know, that's a good first small step to test out your market. Tiny could be... I'll give you a great example. Tynesta, Pennsylvania, town of 500 up in the Allegheny Mountains, had an empty block long, empty block. A building had burned down, and it sat empty for 10 years. And they couldn't figure out how to get a business to come in and build and set up and invest all that money. And a guy had an idea. And his idea was, what if we took a garden shed, put 5 or 6 or 10 garden sheds and rent them out. We'll put false fronts on them so they look like the rest of the buildings in town. And we'll just have them open, you know, April to October. And we'll rent them out for $50 a month. It has been a smashing success. Just a crazy kind of success. It's going wonderfully. A couple of students from Miller, South Dakota heard that story and created their own Christmas event month-long in December by talking to the local guy that sells those sheds and said, can you bring a couple over here? And of course, you know, they're students. He said, well, yeah, I can do that. And he said, well, we'll help promote you. So it's a win-win for everybody. Now, it's cold in the wintertime in South Dakota, and people still came. They had 5 different businesses that showcased their stuff and brought Santa in as well. So these can be temporary measures, or they can be year-round measures. Pop-ups at the county fair, pop-ups during street events. Go to Des Moines Farmers Market. That's a really great farmers market, one of the best in the nation, I happen to think. All of those people are pop-ups. They're not permanent.
Right.
So small towns can actually go visit with them and say, how's this working out for you? Are you ready to move to something else?
Right.
That's how we got SOS Vintage. I found them in off on a side yard of a business during an event. And I went and visited with the owner, Denise Smith. And I asked her, are you ready to move into a building, maybe take part in the incubator project? And she said, well, what's that? I'm like, well, simple. We have a couple empty buildings downtown. The owner would like to give you free rent for 3 months and reduce rent for the rest of the year so you can try your idea out, see if it works. And she said, absolutely, I'm ready. She came to town. She was so ready, she bought her own building, rehabbed it, and she's been in town, I think, 4 years now. So it's in those relationship building, in those conversations. So I'll be talking about all different kinds of rural business models. Sarah Thompson, our Main Street expert, is going to talk about how to grow your downtown. I don't know any town that doesn't need to hear that. And she really is good at that. Abby Huff works for a company in Cedar Rapids. She's originally from this area. Is going to talk about how to write a national register. The application for a national register for your building. Now think about it, Michael. In Iowa, a lot of our small town buildings from late 1800s, early 1900s.
Sure.
And if you're ready to put some of those buildings on the register, why not talk to Abby and have her help you with that? And she has her PhD in that sort of work, so she's the perfect person. Oh, Joe Jennison, Mount Vernon. Joe Jennison was trained at Second City. So he's a character, truly a character. He is the chamber director at Mount Vernon now, and he's going to teach us how to create events out of nothing. Because if you think about it, events bring people to your downtown and expose people to the businesses that are downtown. And if you're a smart business, you're going to figure out how to get those people in your store. Whether it's simply let them use your bathroom, believe it or not, many store owners don't let you use no public bathroom. And my thought is, open
Why
it up.
Why the heck not, right?
It's perfect advertising space. You have a captive audience, right? Why not? To actually being a part of the event. So you may have some samples or a display or a demo or something in your store as well. The Jade Panel, that's Jewell Area Development Enterprise. Jewell is a town of about 1,000 people. They don't have empty buildings. That's right. A group of people got together, figured out how to fill those buildings, figured out how to get funding, and how to make their community once again as active as it wants to be. They also found out how to bring a dentist to town. You don't hear about dentists in towns of 1,000. They figured out, and they're going to talk about those things. Art is economic development. Those are some of my favorites. Jennifer Drinkwater, you may know her.
I do.
She is one of the state artists that was selected last
and
year.
Maureen Siemens, I know Maureen.
And Mo Siemens, yep. And Ken Outson makes birdhouses. So the three of, I know, birdhouses, but the three of them are going to talk about art as economic development. So how can you create that relationship with your artist and your students, and where is it going in the future? Because I talked about that earlier. Our artists are going to survive. The ones that hang in there are going to survive and be well requested. We're going to need them. And we've got some activities that are kind of fun, actually.
So this is a two-day conference.
Two-day conference,
and it's happening September 6th and 7th. It's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner, and we've got a few tickets left. So
do you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good stuff.
Not
we are
too many,
out to not too many, but yeah, a couple. And we will have links to all of that, ladies and gentlemen, up on the radio blog so you can find out exactly more about all that. I have really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you, Michael.
And thank you for allowing us to experiment on you. This is the first time we've sat down, ordered, had the conversation, ate lunch, or at least
tried to
eat lunch, and just put it all into one basket, so to speak. Thank you. Good
You're
stuff.
Quite welcome.
We are with Deb Brown, ladies and gentlemen. It is Save Your Town and Rural That Works, a conference that's coming up in Central Iowa on September 6th and 7th. Thanks again, Deb. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Once again, that was rural expert for small towns, Deb Brown, who will be bringing Rural That Works to those of you seeking answers for your rural communities. It was great, great to reconnect with her again. Tomorrow, we'll visit with our host today. His name is Burke Rister. He's the restaurateur from Rural America here in Webster City. Be watching for that tomorrow here on the Business News Hour. Thanks for listening today. Our engineer is Chap Ramsey. Sales and marketing is Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is created for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You need some original music for your project? We can hook you up. For the entire crew, my name is Michael Libby. Thanks for listening. And remember, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.